Rejoice in the Lord always. Like St. Paul, I say it again, rejoice, for the Lord is near. Come, let us worship him. Advent is a season of prayer, penance, preparation of our hearts. Today, on Gaudete Sunday, Rejoice Sunday, we are shifting to joy as our anticipation of the coming of Christ grows. I think most of us worry about a lot of things, but today is a day to give ourselves permission to feel the joy of a child at Christmas. There was a priest named Joshua Wagner in the United States who told the story in a homily about when he was a young boy, and he was very, very excited for this particular Christmas because he was hoping to get a transformer. Some of you are parents, know about that. And he could hardly wait. And the rule in their house was nobody gets up before 5 o'clock. Well, Joshua got up 4 o'clock, couldn't stand it, went down, looked at the present to Joshua, and he peeled back the wrapping to see that, yes, it was indeed the transformer that he was hoping to get. So he put the wrapping carefully back, went up to bed, got up at 5 o'clock and woke up his parents, and down they went. To Joshua's horror, all the presents were gone. All that was left there was a note saying that it was from Santa and that because Joshua had peaked, there would be no gifts for anyone this Christmas. Now, Father Joshua tells how no boy ever cried so much and so hard as he did that moment, which is exactly the moment when his older brother Mark said, "It's a joke. I saw that you had come down to peak and I hid all the presents." So they came back out. And then Father Joshua finishes that story by saying, "And we haven't seen my brother Mark since then." Which is not really true, but. During Advent, Christians wait in eager anticipation for the gift of Christmas, the coming of Jesus. The Apostle James says, "Be patient, brothers and sisters, until the coming of the Lord. Strengthen your hearts, for the Lord is near." Advent is a time which we don't open yet the present of Jesus' birth, but today's readings invite us to take a little sneak peek at the gift that God is giving us, especially on this Rejoice Sunday. This year, we really emphasize that John the Baptist is our guide through Advent. Why does anyone really care what John thinks? Well, as Jesus points out, John didn't live in a nice warm castle with soft, beautiful clothes like a king. He wrapped his body in rough hide and went out to the wilderness to tell the people who went there to hear him. And he said, "Quit your sinful ways, repent and turn back to God." And during Advent, we repeat John's refrain: repent, get right with God, make a path in your heart so that you can receive him with joy at Christmas. Come to the St. Peter's Reconciliation Service this Wednesday night. Now, John could have given his message to a lot more people if he had just gone to Jerusalem near the temple where all the people were. But there he was out by the Jordan River, the exact same place where the people of Israel had crossed that river to enter into the land of God's promise. By doing that, John was reminding the people that despite hard lives and being oppressed by a foreign nation, that promise was still waiting to be fulfilled in their own lives. The new promised land was waiting to be entered. The Jordan River, so the second symbolic action of John, the Jordan River, exactly where John was also exactly the place where Elijah, the greatest prophet of all, was last seen centuries earlier. And so if we don't quite get that message, Jesus comes right out and says it. John is the new Elijah who comes from God to announce the one who is to come. So why was John suddenly so uncertain about whether Jesus was the one who is to come? After all, he's the one who baptized Jesus, the one who recognized that Jesus was God's anointed, the Messiah. But John was also expecting God to judge the people for turning away from him. So just maybe he had some doubt about whether Jesus was that Messiah, the one. It seems in our culture we are still, in a way, looking for the one. You see it in movies all the time. I don't know, you can go way back to The Matrix, you know, there's the one. or maybe in Star Wars stories, young Anakin Skywalker is seen as the one who is going to bring balance to the Force. I know I shouldn't know all that stuff, but... But now John was in prison for defending marriage because he had dared to tell the truth that it was wrong for King Herod to marry his brother's wife. So you can imagine that John might have been a little bit depressed and wondering if he had been wrong about Jesus. So he asked, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Now Jesus, of course, could have given a simple answer, "Yes, I'm the one," or "No, I'm not." Instead, Jesus answers John's question with another question. "What do you think, John? The blind can see again. The crippled walk. Sick people are made well. The deaf hear. The dead are raised to life. And even the poor have a reason to rejoice because the good news of God's presence is being brought to them." So Jesus was reminding John of what he already knew, that the sign of the kingdom, the sign of the Messiah, is exactly what both Isaiah and the psalmist are saying in today's readings. "The desert shall blossom and rejoice with singing. Say to those who are of a fearful heart." Is there anybody here who sometimes maybe has a fearful heart? "Be strong," he says. "Do not fear. Here is your God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer and the ransomed of the Lord shall obtain everlasting joy and gladness. And sorrow and sighing shall flee away. So that's still the message today. Back then, John needed to hear that everything was going according to God's plan. Do I believe what I see and hear? Do I trust the words and deeds of God? What do you think? Do we need to be reminded that everything is going according to God's plan to bless all people with his saving presence? Yes, we probably do, most of us. The world does have a lot to offer that is very good and that can make us happy, but we can also grow to kind of depend on those things. And those things are all, brothers and sisters, temporary. I think you know that. And so they do not go to our deepest desire for joy. Many today have kind of given up on whether that kind of joy is possible. And the more we have the pleasures of this world, the more we indulge in those, the harder it can be to make room for the joy of knowing God. Our wilderness can simply be a mall parking lot at Christmas time. Jesus told his followers then, and he tells us now, "I want to share my joy with you so that your joy may be complete." When we are experiencing frustration and anxiety and fear and loneliness because of something lacking in this world in our lives, Jesus says to us, "Come to me and I will give you what the world cannot give." He wants to come right into that place in our lives. When I was ordained a deacon a little over 11 years ago, along with Deacon Tom O'Toole from our parish, one of the things that I did not know about this ordained service was going to be that I would spend many times, I would be with people who had lost a sense of the joy and were wondering where that was. Many people who had experienced great loss in their lives or a sense of sorrow for many different reasons. And I didn't know then that I would be given the grace not to offer any wisdom of my own because I don't have the wisdom to enter into that dark place. But the wisdom only to know to point to Jesus Christ, who suffered on the cross to let us know that he was present with us in our suffering. To point to the altar so that we know that Jesus was raised to new life and now lives with us, who wants to be present in the moments of our lives and to be the joy of our lives. There's a directive given to those being ordained to the diaconate. It goes like this: believe what you read, teach what you believe, practice what you teach. It means first, go to God's word where you will find his promises. It means tell others about his sacrificial love that he has for them and for all of us. And it also means live out that love. Let your deeds speak about the presence of the Savior. Also, when I was ordained a deacon, 2 minutes after Deacon Tom because O'Toole comes before Robinson in the alphabet, and so I have to bow down to him whenever I see him. Bishop Henry gave us an instruction. He said, give people a reason to hope. In other words, to rejoice. I was at the bedside of Deacon Albert Henry, a beautiful man, just days before he died. He wasn't expecting to get so sick, and he was still relatively young. What he said to me, I will always remember. He said, of course I don't want to die, but I believe that I have completed and done what God asked me to do. And that's what I want to be able to say when I am at that point. Like John, we too have to ask Jesus the question, are you the one, or shall we look for another? We can be disappointed and look for someone else, maybe an entertainer, an athlete, or even a politician. But the message of the pink candle is that the Lord is near. God is coming to us this Christmas. As I think about service to this community of St. Peter's, I remember how Deacon Tom welcomed me into his heart here and how he led the whole congregation in welcoming me into service here and how I didn't know how much I was going to receive that service also from this community. And so I am grateful for him for that openness and for the opportunity to participate with all of us in seeking the joy that God wants to give us. The God who is in motion toward us. And what we need to ask of ourselves is, are we in motion toward God? Will we walk by his light? Today we can start to see the fullness of the coming of the light this Christmas. We can be also that presence of light in the world. Who is it in our life who needs a reason to hope, to reach out, to rejoice? Can we bask in the light of that candle, the third candle, as the light builds, as we light more of the candles? Also, can we think of how we might be that pink Advent candle for others in our life.